welcome everybody to the Wild Wild West, you'll be out of that dress when you meet our football analysis. In the FA Cup, the Emirates is often described as a library, but Arsenal just about got their Reading done, and Tim Sherwood is grealishing the chance to meet them in the final. There's the latest from the Premiership, as Chelsea give United all the possession, as well as all of these nuts. La Liga, where all the teams that are good at football won football games, and of course, our very own Toronto FC. Let's cosh. Welcome to the Koshcast. My name is Alex. I'm surrounded by three absolute beauties. Mohamed, how are you?
I'm doing great. Love to be described as a beauty as always.
Well, you know, yeah. just the truth.
Yeah, I know. So. Truth, yeah. Yeah. Can you handle it?
How are you? Well, we'll see. Bernie, how are you?
I think I'm the most beautiful, you know.
Okay. So. I wasn't going to pick a favorite, but...
You're always sitting on the fence. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Parents never pick their favorite child.
They always have a secret favorite.
They do.
Roche, how are you?
I'm glad to be the third beauty, and assuming that the three of us are beauties, I would assume that you are the beast, Alex.
Oh, sure. You are in maroon and polka dot socks, so...
You know what? I call them my business socks.
Ah. Alex took that way too personally.
I'm glad we're ready for business. So, Alex, yeah. What were we up to yesterday?
We went to meet Paul Stalteri, Canada legend, most capped Canadian player, former Tottenham fullback, former Fulham fullback, Werder Bremen.
It was pretty exciting, to be honest, yeah. Just to see him kind of
Bundesliga like, winner.
Yeah, Champions League player.
He's a big bloke, too.
He is, like, you could tell he's built as a footballer.
He has a
like,
good handshake massive. As well. Oh,
yeah. So hard,
but,
yeah.
But no, it was great. We spoke to him about the Canadian men's national team, youth development in Canada, obviously Tottenham.
Bernie.
I was going to say Fulham, but no.
Fulham, no. Bernie's doing some editing, and hopefully by next week.
Yeah, there are a lot of things he wanted to keep private. You know, some he didn't want to give us the rumors. So, Paul, if you're listening next time, maybe tell us off the record.
he's also very fresh off all the media hype he's been getting throughout his career.
Yeah, so. He's only recently retired. Yeah. Right,
so we got to give him like 4 or 5 more years, maybe 10 or 15, like Bruce.
Can we do a follow up interview?
Bruce and Paul, you know, when we play some football with them, maybe Norberto as well. Get them all going.
That would be a great team.
All stars, you know.
Yeah.
Oh,
we should have invited him to join our team. For this We're right, looking for a right back.
I'm pretty excited. Looking forward to that. So,
yeah.
But let's move on to what happened this week.
What with real football
teams. With real football teams, yeah. Let's start with the FA Cup, because I think that was the highlight this week. Reading Arsenal was the first game
God,
at Wembley.
That was shit.
Oh, man, it was dire. It was just bad. Arsenal played down to the level of Reading for most of the game.
Slightly harsh, but
close. Know, I mean, nothing much happened. Arsenal looked pretty bang average until Ozil and Sanchez connected and just produced one moment of magic to put him up 1-0.
The assist from Ozil was well classed, though.
It was very
dink, Messi-esque dink. Over
Sanchez's
the top.
First touch on his thigh was
all perfect. All right, guys, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Well, there's nothing else to talk about in the game. We have to talk about this.
It was a good pass. It was good control. It was a good finish.
Why are you hating?
That's basically what we just said.
Yeah.
I mean, no. Alexis Sanchez. Was your savior.
Well,
the fact of the matter. In a game where Arsenal really should have just completely mauled Reading, in my opinion. Reading on what? We're going to get Reading.
They haven't won in six games.
No, but they're 18th in the championship.
Yeah.
They haven't won in six games. Also, this felt like the old Arsenal prior to their good run, where not playing very well, but Sanchez kind of bailing them out. This kind of felt similar again. Sure, they weren't playing as bad, but I think the main thing was Arsene Wenger really switched the side around quite a bit, especially in defense. Three of the back five were new. Debussy came back after 3 months of not playing. Gibbs, similar. Szczesny, back in goal. I think that really put the team off balance. Just the cohesion wasn't there.
Credit to Reading, though. Because, you know, Arsenal may have played down to their level, but Reading, to some level, have to bring you down to that level. So credit to them. They got to the semi-final.
Arsenal said they were willing to die for the final.
Well, I mean, they did. They played... The surprising thing is they play 4-4-2. It's not like they play 4-5-1.
It was a Simeone-esque 4-4-2. Like, really compact. Well, it looked like they were playing with 4 central midfielders.
Right.
Well, if you're in the FA Cup semi-final, you're not willing to die for everything. Like, there's no point of you being there at all.
Right. And then Reading scored right after halftime, 55th minute or so.
Terrible Szczesny goalkeeper.
Oh, terrible. Terrible from, I think, a couple of people. Debussy, Gibbs, and Szczesny all at fault there. And then, extra time. It was rough if it went into penalties. Because I think at penalties, it's 50-50. Like,
you guys really got rid of that in the end over there.
I wouldn't say 50-50, though. Just given the technical level that Arsenal players are at.
I mean, you'd hope. It's a penalty shootout.
I've seen against Wigan last year.
I mean, you've seen Messi Ronaldo miss penalties. Like, it's doable.
Sure. And so then Sanchez came up with the goods again. Yeah. Second goal.
Very lucky.
More Federici coming up with the goods.
Yeah.
I mean, if Szczesny's goalkeeping was bad, Federici's was horrendous.
Which is I feel bad for, because he played well all game.
I had to say, when I see a game winner that's just the ball trickling over the line like that, slowly but surely, the camera starts shaking and the fans are going wild, and it's kind of like a really cheap, scrappy goal. And yeah. It ruins it
for you a little bit. Right?
If it was in the middle of a season that's useless, like a Newcastle Swansea game, sure. But like at a semi-final, like, I guess, you're gonna celebrate anything. Right?
The fans have traveled all the way to Wembley.
Yeah.
And it's such a crap, dire goal to win the game on.
But I guess it's better than losing. And
it's a semi-final against Reading. It's not a classic. We're not gonna remember this at all. You get to the final against Aston Villa, because Aston Villa, in my opinion, completely steamrolled Liverpool.
Oh,
with your boy Delph at the heart of things.
Listen, I don't need to say anything else about Fabian Delph. He ran the show, brilliant performance. Brilliant from Benteke, brilliant from Westwood, brilliant from...
Oh, Westwood.
Actually,
was
Tom Cleverley was not brilliant, but good.
The other guy.
You have to give credit to Tim Sherwood, though, because he has had a supreme effect as new manager.
Oh, big time. Big time. I mean, he came in, they won the previous round of the Cup against the rivals West Brom.
4-0. Wasn't that the 4-0 match?
I think so.
They weren't even scoring goals prior to him being...
Benteke couldn't find the net. Now he has like 7-8 or 7-9.
Now we're talking about...
Like,
well, sure, it's talking about his goal ratio. Now it's important.
From win ratio to goal ratio.
Yeah. So,
making Paul Lambert look extremely...
But you know what? Paul Lambert was a good manager at Norwich, whatever. But he didn't... You know, he seems almost too tactical with a bunch of players that probably can't absorb tactics to save their lives.
Oh, Gabby Abonahol can't absorb anything. You can just tell.
I mean, look how thick Benteke's head is. I don't see how anything is penetrating that head. So he really needed, you know, just basically a kick up the ass. Like, just someone to tell him, just, you know, grab him by the neck almost.
I think
score goals.
Yeah, that was
that's
the
your
game
number
plan.
One tactic.
I think the idea is that when you look down the squad, it's all about pace. So you want to set him free a bit. If you've got a team full of pace, you've got Abdonlahor, Benteke, Sinclair, what's his name, the lefty, left guy.
Richardson?
No.
Is it Nzogbia?
Nzogbia,
right.
Exactly.
Okay.
All these guys, what? Vyman, like all these guys are pacey. You can, if you hold him back, then you lose what makes your team really good. I think what Sherwood did is he let him play. He, when asked about Benteke's good form, he said, because I told him, your role is to score goals. Stop coming in deep. Stop trying to get involved. Just be up there and score goals when the ball comes into the box.
Is the implication that Paul Lambert was trying to use Benteke as like some kind of trequartista?
I think he was playing him way too deep.
Was he though?
Or Benteke was coming way too deep because he'd never get the ball.
Yeah, well, that was true.
I think he just drew too many triangles on the board and Benteke got confused.
We should all send our resume in for manager of Aston Villa next. But let's talk about Liverpool, who are surprisingly the underdogs in this picture, and
show
that they were exactly...
I love how Richey puts Liverpool down. It actually brings me so much joy.
We tried so hard to be objective, and then Richey just comes in and blows it all out.
I mean, I didn't mean to, but, you know, given the result of this fixture, you can only say one thing, and that's Aston Villa came to play football, and Liverpool didn't.
Yeah, Coutinho scored the first goal. It was a deflection. It was going out wide. I think what happened was Baker got injured at the heart of Aston Villa's defense, and then he had to get subbed. His replacement, Okore or whatever, he gave the ball away for that goal. And then he was the guy that the ball got deflected off. Coutinho played well. Sterling
did a good goal.
It was all against the run of play. And I was listening to the commentator talk, and then I realized what he was talking about, in the sense of right when they scored, Brendan Rodgers changed the formation.
To 4-4-2.
Yeah, yep. And he put Emery Chan as right back. And that's exactly where Fabian Delph got that, you know, pulled the ball back for Benteke to score. I was like, why are you changing? Like, he thinks Brendan Rodgers is like Palmer. He thinks that he's this master tactician. He thinks he's Jose. He thinks he's Louis. And he's like, I'm just going to run with this and mess up your brains. And I'm going to mess up the team. It's so stupid. Stop.
To be fair, at the same time, I think Lovren wasn't tight enough to his man for the second goal.
Yeah. Well, Lovren wasn't tight on anyone all season, to be honest.
So when Brendan does go to the tactics board and he thinks he has four central defenders, he should actually consider that he only has three, because Lovren is not doing his job.
Are we considering Kolo Touré?
Possibly not.
And Emre Can,
there's no central defense.
And Emre Can is makeshift and is certainly not a right back.
But the big talking point was Gerrard. Gerrard played. He's
header
now
cleared
not,
off the line. Yeah.
Header cleared off the line. He's not making it. I mean, they wanted to win one more trophy before he left.
Also, the final's on his birthday.
That's true. There was that, and I think Balotelli also had an offside goal that wasn't counted, like with 2 minutes to go.
That's an exaggeration. It wasn't offside. That's a fact.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But the defender stopped playing.
Yeah, I guess.
So
yeah.
I hate when people say just because he put it in, is the goalie stopped? It's so
fine.
Annoying.
Regardless, it was a one-on-one. That I mean, you never know. Even if the defender kept going, he could have scored. So.
Shot on target for Balotelli, then.
Yeah, shot on target. Exactly.
Much needed.
Unofficial though, because
well, it's unofficial.
It
exactly.
Yeah, he'll count it. And that's what
so yeah, the final now was. Villa Arsenal, sometime in May 15, 16, something like that.
After the end of the season.
Yeah. So
the two.
Oh wait, is
alphabets.
It actually on its own day?
I hope so. At least, I know it wasn't last year, which was ridiculous. But Wenger said, "Well, let us finish the season and then we play the final." So
maybe.
Hopefully.
I think Villa have a good chance here. It's definitely going to be harder on paper than Hull for Arsenal last season should have been.
Absolutely.
Villa have pace. Like they can, if Arsenal keep a lot of possession in front of Villa and then they break, they have.
Villa are not concerned if you have the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
They really aren't concerned.
Listen, if you guys play like you did against Reading, you're going to have a tough time.
Yeah.
Oh, if Arsenal play like they did against Reading, they'd lose the final. But that performance isn't happening again.
Yeah, especially hopefully Wenger doesn't make as many changes.
I will enjoy seeing Coquelin and Benteke battling it out.
That would be fun.
He has to stop Delph first.
All right, so let's move on to the Premier League. A couple of, not as many games, obviously, because of the FA Cup, but City beat West Ham 2-0. Kind of back on track, I guess. Navas actually had a good game for once in a long time.
Yeah, where was Cresswell? Navas seemed to be in acres of space.
Yeah, I think Cresswell was attacking quite a bit that game.
You know what's interesting about Jesus Navas? Now he's a regular starter at City. I'm trying to wonder where their other right wingers are.
Nasri's injured. Milner doesn't play there anymore.
They don't actually have
a
right winger. In fact, that team doesn't have a single winger outside of Jesus Navas. For that left, right, they don't have a winger.
They sold Sinclair.
After
all
of the money they've spent, they don't have wingers in attacking positions.
No, they like to do the... what did Van Gaal call it? The false winger?
Advanced playmaker, whatever you want to call it.
So you have Silva on the left, you have Nasri on the right. None of them have pace. It's true, they don't really have pace in the side. That's why Navas keeps his position. He's not that good.
Which is interesting because they don't have a plan B in that sense.
No.
But it's also that kind of tactic is also the reason that Zabaleta's been so good over the last couple of years in that he's had someone in front of him that's cut in and created space for him down the right.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Alves Messi thing. You know?
Right. Yeah, Kolarov and Zabaleta, we used to do that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. You're right. So anyways, City with the 3 points, Aguero scoring, Collins on goal. Aguero now the highest goal scorer in the league.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is impressive because he's kind of a bit under the radar this season, yet still racking the goals.
Injuries and subpar performances.
Yeah.
But what an own goal by Big Ginge.
It's a tough one. It's a really tough one. Beautiful own goal, might I add, the way the ball went into the net.
It's going to go in the Hall of Fame.
It was fun to add to his collection.
Yeah.
I'd say though, City have a really old squad. They have the oldest squad in the league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think
average age is like 30, almost 30.
The only thing I'm worried about is David Dunn. He watched their own goal and
Richard
Dunn. He watched their own goal and he's like, damn it, I gotta.
Yeah, him and Carragher are like sweating.
He just brought back some memories of David Dunn at Blackburn.
Yeah. Brilliant. He was good.
I liked it.
He was like the best English number 10 for a while.
And he never got
David Dunn or Damien Duff?
No, Damien Duff and David Dunn were in that Blackburn team.
David
that was good Bentley for a minute.
At the same time.
Oh my God.
David Dunn, Duff.
Right, yeah. Triple D's. All right. Spurs beat Newcastle 3-1 away.
There you go, Mo.
Yeah. Colback scored for Newcastle just after halftime restarted, like 10 seconds.
Yeah, it was an equalizing goal. Yeah, I think it was like 18 seconds.
Chadley scored the first one in the first half.
That Chadley goal, I don't know what Newcastle were doing. He picked it up just outside the area, took it right, took it left. No one really closed him down. And then the shot wasn't even in the corner. I mean, Krul must have seen it late or something.
Yeah. Krul has been in a horrible
If you didn't know what he was doing for that, then for Eriksen's free kick.
Granted.
But
the whole Newcastle team, organization, fans, everybody. No one was in the stadium, even though it's a home game.
There was a slight boycott.
They were boycotting Mike Ashley.
Who was boycotting? The fans or was it the players?
The fans were
boycotting.
Oh, the players are boycotting everything.
Yeah. Mike Ashley's boycotting the club. The fans are boycotting Mike Ashley and the players are boycotting the fans.
No one wants to go there.
Everybody was boycotting Poligno that game because no one gave him the ball. He was absolutely horrendous, by the way. Every time he got the ball, you could tell he was scared. He was actually scared.
Oh, man. He's bordering on Anderson.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Like, but anyways, so...
He's going to scale those heights real soon.
He's a few pizzas away. But can we talk about the Eriksen goal for a second?
Mm-hmm.
Because he whipped the ball in, free kick, from the left-hand side, whipped it in. The whole Tottenham team was offside.
Yeah, the whole team.
But I'm just really lucky that none of them touched the ball.
Yeah, but I still think it's offside. I think because the whole point
it is offside.
It is, yeah.
But the commentator, like we're talking about, he literally said, no one touched the ball.
Yeah.
So they're onside.
That's not true. That is absolutely not true.
Are you just saying this on national television? Yeah. So a bunch of kids growing up don't know what the offside rule is?
Was it Michael Owen by any chance?
No. I wish.
It should have been. It really should have been.
But anyways.
If it wasn't him, it was now.
Kane scored the third pretty easy.
Beautiful finish, yeah.
Yeah, Newcastle were just committing a lot of numbers forward.
Lamella assist.
Lamella had a horrible game. First half on Twitter, you should have read some of the comments, man.
I can't wait for him to go back to River Plate. There's no other
place. He's going so
not
young,
even back to Roma, back to River Plate. We're going
like all the way back to his high school teams.
Put him back in the womb. Wow.
The big one this weekend, Chelsea United. If it were a possession based game, United would have won this 7-0.
No, let's not even go down that alley, because it is about the result at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And Jose Mourinho did exactly what he was expected to do, and he won that game.
Well, if it was a possession, shots, corners, fouls,
passes games, in the final third, yeah.
Everything, this type of game that everything should have happened for United, except the fact that they had Falcao up front.
Except, I was just going to say, except
that
one stat.
That is the problem.
Not only that, but the whole core back line was injured. Daley Blind was injured, Phil Jones was injured, Marcus Rojo was injured, Michael Carrick was injured.
Yeah, no, it's true. And the only stat that doesn't go your way is that Falcao didn't touch the ball in Chelsea's 18-yard box all first half.
Yeah, Falcao also gave the ball away for the Chelsea goal.
I mean, and then he hit the post when he should have scored. So it's basically Falcao 1, Manchester United 0, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Hazard scoring the Chelsea goal from a brilliant Oscar back heel. Hazard waited, put it through De Gea's legs. I think a De Gea of a month ago, when he was superhuman, would have saved that. No. Perhaps.
Probably. His head's in Madrid now, apparently.
It felt like Mourinho played Chelsea a video of one of those Inter Milan Champions League victory games beforehand. Just like, sit in your box.
Just do nothing.
Wait around.
Yeah. Give it to Hazard whenever you can.
I was talking to my dad about this game, and he said, during a conversation, I remembered, this felt like watching an Arsenal game. Like an Arsenal game.
Right.
Not this season. Yeah. I want to say two seasons
possession
ago.
And no.
It was, you have all the ball. Right, maybe not at Stamford Bridge, but you have all the ball, you have all the chances. It's not, and then you make one mistake, Chelsea counter you, score, and then you're like, "Would we play better?" Yeah. And then Mourinho's like, "I don't care if you have 99% of the ball. Yeah. I like winning like that."
No, but Arsenal. That's how Arsenal have been losing to United and Chelsea last couple of seasons. It's exactly how it is. Liverpool, same thing. Like, anyways, so Mourinho played his tactics. He got the 3 points. Now that's it. The league is sewn up. That's definitely it.
If it wasn't before.
At one point, he had Zuma, Ramirez, Matic, and Mikel all at the same time on the field.
A veritable Hadrian's Wall.
I don't think other teams even have that amount of defensive mids. Like, Zuma isn't, but just people who can be used in that position.
But I do give Jose a bit of credit because, you know, Daley Blind has been playing left back. Luke Shaw comes in and he's tearing Ivanovic just I have not seen that this season. Anyone destroy Ivanovic like that.
Yep.
And he's so smart, he decides, Ramirez, you're coming on and you're going to man mark Luke Shaw. And Luke Shaw slowed down and then he had to be taken off. And I just thought, as much as I hate you, Jose,
but you do
as
the
much
right
as
thing.
You annoy me, you are so intelligent and you're so tactically astute. It's frustrating.
I really take your point. On the other hand, is that complicated?
It is that complicated.
If you see your fullback get... I know, Wenger, it's not that complicated.
It
if
is,
you see your fullback getting rinsed, you do something about it.
I
wouldn't say that he was getting rinsed.
We're
talking about Ivanovic, not Shaw. Okay.
No. The problem was, I don't think it's as easy as that because you lose a substitution just to do that. I think that takes a big decision.
Game plan was to stop the opposition from getting any momentum.
So, well, to be fair, he also had Drogba up front, who is useless. So even any attacking, I don't know, like impetus is non-existent with Drogba up front. If Costa was available, maybe they would have attacked a bit more. But
it was kind of sad to see. There was one time where Luke Shaw did Drogba, and the chance where he took it to the byline, crossed it in, and Mata missed. And it was just weird seeing this 19-year-old absolutely physically batter Drogba. Like, he just shoved him out of the way and then blew past him.
That 19-year-old battered Drogba, and then the other 19-year-old battered Ivanovic, like McNair. And then McNair looked like Beckenbauer. I didn't understand. He's marauding through, taking shots from all... What is going on in this game?
I have to say, if I had anything to add to this game, it's that when I looked at the post-game reviews and the report, and everything was about Chelsea and Hazard shining, I don't think that was a justice or a reflection of the game. No,
they're going to win the league.
This game from start to
Hazard's going to win player of the year. Yeah, I think probably. It's pretty much sewn up.
Yeah, overhyped, probably.
Well, it's just a lack of alternatives.
Yeah, without Hazard, they're nowhere near where they are. He's the only creative
force. It's like we said before, it's not been that promising a season. So, but whatever, they deserve it. Props to Chelsea.
Last thing on this, Roche, you came up with a really good new nickname for Paddy McNair.
Oh, yes, Paddington McNair.
Yeah,
lovely.
Paddington McBear.
That's even better. All right, I think that's a good point to move on. Crystal Palace really quickly lost to West Brom 2-0. Who Crystal Palace have been in a good run of form, but West Brom really needed these 3 points as well. Just
it's to Tony,
kind of...
bro. He's not going to lose to his own team. Yeah, forget
true,
that.
True. Gardner scored. Chris Brunt scored. The commentator said Chris Brunt has the second most assist after Cesc. I don't know if that sounds right. I guess Di Maria didn't play for a long time.
Did Chris Brunt have 3 assists in one game or something?
I don't know.
See, okay, so what actually happened was the stat man had a filter on,
right,
and he only filtered West Brom's stats.
Oh, so he was the second
to the league.
Okay.
Which is why Chris Brunt came up as second.
So West Brom got an important 3 points that they needed. Everton beat Burnley 1-0.
Yep.
Mirallo scoring, Barkley missed a penalty, Ashley Barnes got a red on 45 minutes for Burnley. Burnley are now dead last.
Not by far.
No,
it's weird for Burnley because they've been the team that all season have looked like they might just get out of it. And then all of a sudden Leicester have come from nowhere.
Well, yeah, Leicester beat Swansea 2-0, Ochoa and Andy King scoring. And that's 9 points out of 9, going from 19 points at the bottom of the table to now 28, a point away from safety.
Absolutely possessed. But they're playing the exact football that brought them up to the league to begin with.
That's the thing with Leicester and Burnley, I guess. They stick to their, well, philosophy is a big word, but they stick to their way of playing. They don't just hoof the ball
and
up.
And to think that Nigel Pearson was sacked, not sacked. We don't really know.
You know what
happened?
He went and sat up there next to the owner that one game in the stands, and I think they hashed things out. And since they've been playing great,
I'd probably do what he told me because he's a scary bastard.
He really is.
Is it possible that they had an injury crisis that they were dealing with for the middle of the season?
Well, I think Maris came back after a while, but other than that, really.
Well, Ochoa scored after what, 6 months? He hadn't scored a goal or something.
This is his last goal against the Manchester United in the 5-3.
I don't want to talk about that ever again. Never bring that up in my presence ever again.
No, let's just stop because basically, like, at the beginning of the season, Ochoa was scoring hatfuls of goals.
Oh,
then he just stopped scoring. So then Pearson was just trying new things. Nugent, and then they bought a new striker in January in Kramaric, and just trying different stuff.
They play only according to the weather. So when it's sunny.
Sure. So beginning of the season and end of the season.
That's usually what Arsenal do.
You know, that's not a bad analysis.
Yeah.
I like that.
Fair weather footballers.
Last game, really quickly, Stoke-Southampton. Southampton lost 1-0. Schneiderlin scoring that? Alex keeps saying Pele, I keep saying Schneiderlin.
No, it was Schneiderlin.
Yeah, it was Schneiderlin.
I think it was
2-1.
Yeah, Stoke 1-2-1. Is that what I
said?
Oh, sorry. Stoke 1-2-1. Yeah, Southampton went 1-0 up with Schneiderlin. And then Diouf and Adams.
Good goal by Adam.
Yeah, very good goal.
Not from the halfway mark this time.
No, he's
not good enough for his standards.
He's showing he can score from inside the box.
He's showing versatility. I like that.
Yeah. Charlie Adam making his claim for top 4 club.
He can be ugly from anywhere on the pitch.
Oh, brilliant. Really quickly, the table, guys. Chelsea up there with 76. Arsenal second. United third. City fourth. I think that's how it's going to end at the end of the season, pretty much. At the bottom, though, you got Burnley, QPR, and Leicester. All between 26 and 28 points. Safety right now is at 28 points. So, very tight. Hull, Sunderland, and Villa are all kind of still in there.
Yeah, I put my money on Hull going down and one of the two,
Sunderland.
Leicester. And
will he care about Conan the Tigers after they go down?
That's the thing. Can you market anyone in the championship in Asia? I don't think so.
Yeah, you probably could.
Yeah?
Yeah. Apart from Steve Bruce, you need a better looking manager, I think. But between the bottom 3 or 4 in the Premiership and the top 6 in the Championship is so exciting. I mean, the Championship
top
is just mental.
Yeah.
The top 4 are separated by a point or two.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Steve Bruce is going on a diet.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he went to the Bahamas for a little break and they took pictures of him and his stomach.
With Raheem Sterling?
Oh, he's a massive guy.
And he's like to the journalist, you know what? After that, I'm going on a diet.
Brilliant. All right, guys. Let's move on to Moo Moo of the Week.
Moo Moo of the Week.
Of the Week. The first Moo Moo this week comes from the appropriately named Isle of Scilly. It's got a C in it, so it's not, you know, spelled exactly silly. But little island off the coast of England, off the south coast. Smallest league in the world, allegedly. With 2 teams that play each other every week.
What do you mean, allegedly?
So
you can't have a league.
It's basically the SPL.
Is there relegation and promotion?
Except it's better than the SPL because there's no interest anymore.
That's brilliant. So that's awesome. So Isle of Scilly, appropriately named. That's brilliant. The other one we have is, I think I was watching the, what was it, the Aston Villa Liverpool game?
Yeah, the FA Cup.
Yeah, Shea Given was in goal. Bernie was watching it at home. I was watching it at home. And what happened was someone got injured. There was a stop and play. And all you see in the corner of the screen, out of focus, is Shea Given lying on his back on the ball and wiggling his body around.
Like the ball is under his back and he's just rolling back and forth like a rolling pin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can they play that back? Yeah. What is that?
So Bernie texted me, did you see Shea Given? I just saw it and I can't stop laughing. It was absolutely brilliant.
Wasn't there also a comment about Shea Given and Steven Gerrard?
Yeah.
Steven Gerrard crosses, Shea Given catches the ball. Yeah. And then there was a tweet that went, oh, I thought, what was time freeze for the last 15 years?
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. All right, everyone up from their siesta. Let's get some La Liga scores in.
Sure, bro.
Si.
Yeah. Si. Que.
Muy bien.
Hola. All right. Madrid beat Malaga 3-1. I guess Malaga is kind of one of the tougher fixtures in the league.
No.
Come on, kind of. Let's be real.
It's all
here.
Relative.
No.
I mean, when we're talking about Cordoba or something, you know.
Right.
Ibar.
So Ronaldo, James, and Ramos scored. Ramos has, like, more goals than Iniesta will ever even dream of at this moment.
Yeah.
So yeah, James, Alex, you keep saying James has really brought a lot to this team since he's back from injury.
He's made a big difference. I mean, he and Modric came back at the same time, which was obviously, I mean, Modric is so crucial for them. And now he's injured again for another 6 weeks, which is not good news.
Especially for the Champions League, they have a big game coming up against Atletico. That's going to be bad. Bale was injured 3 minutes in.
Yeah.
The best part of that was Ronaldo's concern. He was on his haunches, looking at Bale, asking if he's okay, being like, Bale, I think you should really sub, man.
Yeah.
Don't take any chances. Garbage. I think he whispered in his ear,
hey, Bale, love it.
You know what he probably said? He's like, is that from when I kicked you in training yesterday?
Yeah, so anyways, Modric and Bale are both injured.
You know what he whispered in his ear?
See.
Ronaldo missed the penalty, though, so karma a little bit.
Yeah, git.
Okay.
Wait. So Ronaldo did something good, but then karma, he missed a penalty.
Yeah, but then he scored it in the game.
And then he megged that guy with the reverse back heel nutmeg. And then I was like, okay, you're fine.
How many loops did we have on that?
I've watched it 50 times already.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Anyway, so Madrid get the 3 points. Barca earlier, I think the day before or earlier in the day, had their last really tough fixture remaining. When we said they have a tougher run in, it's because Sevilla away last week. They drew 2-2, dropped points. And now Valencia at home. They beat them 2-0. To be honest, not convincing. Suarez scoring on 55 seconds. Messi assist. Really good goal. But then Valencia, it was all Valencia. And they missed the penalty. Bravo saving that really well. You could see it meant a lot to him. Because he was at fault for the Sevilla goal last week.
Valencia also hit the post.
Yep.
Let's not forget that. So Barca scored right at the beginning and at the end. But in the middle of the game.
Very
all
end.
Valencia,
like,
all
first
Valencia
minute, last minute. Yes.
I think this is more of a sign that if Peter... Is it Peter Lim? Is that who it is? Yeah. So if he can continue to invest in Valencia, right? I remember Alex was saying this. Then maybe you could have a four, you know, a group of... No, I mean, you know,
right,
Atletico, Barca, Atletico kind of there. Mm-hmm. And then maybe Valencia can become that fourth team who really, really challenges for a title.
I think what it will take is A, investment, yes, but B, because in Spain, the like third or fourth team to get into the Champions League often rotates. It's one team in this year. And so it makes it hard for those teams to build up the financial resources to maintain a kind of push like that. So if Valencia and Atleti can do it, it might be boring for the rest of the league, but the rest of the league are doing dick all anyway.
You also need an incredibly strong manager
to stay there
to cement your place with it. Like a Diego Simeone will only come once every 20, 30 years for Atletico. I don't see them continuing there.
Is it Unai
without
Emery?
Him.
Or is it I forget his name.
It was Emery, right?
Then he went to Sevilla.
Yeah.
Well, the way I see it is that these Spanish teams, they really show the strength in Europe. They do well in Europe in the Champions League, and they do very well in the Europa League. So they're good teams. The only problem is Barca and Real are just much better. But those teams in other slightly more competitive leagues where games are more equal, I think they do pretty well.
You know what? I agree with you. They are very good teams. But the other thing is, and you can never discount this enough, is they actually care when they go into Europa League.
Yeah.
You have Tottenham, you know,
and
the other teams who the managers literally say, this stresses our team out.
Yeah.
We don't really want to win this thing. So, of course, the players are not going to play. I'm not saying that you know, they're better or not. But if your manager doesn't care, your players aren't going
to
care.
Yeah, I'd have to say that Spanish players are some of the most down-to-earth players you'll ever find. And that's exactly what their biggest strength
is. For me, Valencia and Atletico are probably top four quality in England easily. They're better than Spurs and Liverpool for me.
This season, for sure.
Well, I don't think they're anywhere near City or United.
No, sorry.
Well, I mean, Atletico,
so forget top four.
Not Valencia.
Yeah, all right. So yeah, that was that. And then Messi scoring his 400th goal for Barcelona. So that was kind of a personal milestone for him. He was quite happy with that. Atletico Deportivo, Atletico winning there. Alex is just over the moon with Griezmann's goal.
Oh, just two beautiful finishes. The second one was a bit like Mata's a few weeks ago, the volley. And the first one, overhead kick, just incredible reflexes. The guy's brilliant.
The guy's brilliant. He was a brilliant buy, as well. Just as an option to get him was fantastic.
And the transition from winger to striker immediately.
Yeah, true. Very impressive. Like kind of second striker under Mandzukic or Torres or whatever. All right, that's it for La Liga wrap up. Let's move on to scouting report.
Stevie Gerrard. He slipped on his fucking ass. He passed it to Dembaba. Stevie Gerrard.
Come on, Stevie lad, we're gonna come back and score three.
The champions, brought to you by PS3. Da, 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 da. Right, Atletico versus Madrid.
By PS3.
Yeah.
How many years, bro?
I know, that was like 10 years ago. Now it's what, Heineken or whatever?
Best in Europe, bro. Champions League.
Best games in Europe, bro.
Wasn't Heineken before PS3?
I don't know, man. Whatever.
Is it Carlsberg now?
No, it's Heineken. No,
it was Heineken. It was
did they get
Heineken.
It back? Because I swear it was Heineken in the mid-90s.
Because you know the ad where they're on the ship and then they flip the bottle opener or whatever?
Yeah.
Isn't that Champions League ad? That's Heineken.
True.
Yeah. Carlsberg was like...
Carlsberg is Liverpool.
It's Heineken. Yeah.
Well, we know the advertising doesn't work.
This podcast is brought to you by Heineken.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Atletico, Real Madrid, 0-0. I think Atletico kind of got the score they want. It was a typical Atletico versus Madrid game. Real Madrid with all the possession and attacking. Atletico keeping them at bay, coming up with a clean sheet. 0-0 at home isn't bad. If Atletico Atletico score one at the Bernabeu, Real Madrid need two.
Yeah.
It's not a bad result. It's not a great result. I think going home... they're going to park the bus like hell. And then they're going to hope for a counterattack. But you have to think that the attacking force of Real Madrid should be able to at least score one.
Bale's injured.
Bale, Modric. Bale also missed a really big one-on-one in this game. A huge one-on-one.
That's true. Big one, yeah. It was in the third minute as well. So it could have been an early lead, but it wasn't meant to be.
It could be a blessing if Isco comes in, you know.
Exactly. Isco's been playing great. So basically, I don't know. I like a 0-0 at home because then you score away. And
absolutely.
That's it. Like 2-2.
I would actually say that Atleti might be favourites at this point.
Yeah, especially with the injuries that Madrid have.
And you know what? It's going to come down to like a battle of blood at this point because Real pipped them to the European crown last season.
True.
So Atletico would like no better than to just take it from them in their own house.
Nice revenge, yeah. I mean, Real Madrid haven't been Atletico in ages, in like six games, except for that Champions League final.
They've probably forgotten how.
Yep, true. Juve, Monaco, also a very tight game. Monaco, we did say in our preview last week that Monaco will put on a good defensive performance, not much attacking threat. Juve got a very lucky penalty.
Not a penalty, but well put away. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they got their 1-0 home win, which is kind of the best score to get at home, and that's it. Juve score one, Monaco need three.
They score 1-0 wins every week, every match they play.
Oh, Juve?
Yeah.
That's sometimes odd. The odd second.
The odd 2-0.
They beat Lazio 2-0.
This was also without Pogba, to be fair. Without Pogba. So.
Ah, yes.
But Alex, you're right. They did beat Lazio in the weekend, which is a very good score.
Yeah.
So Juve to go through and Atletico or Madrid, you think?
What, Juve?
Yeah.
Over who?
Well, no, Juve are going to probably go through now over Monaco.
Oh,
about the Atletico?
I think Real
Madrid tie.
Go
Real Madrid?
I'd have to say Real Madrid will win this one.
Atletico.
All right, I think Atleti as well. The surprise of the week is Porto 3, Bayern 1.
Damn.
That was unbelievable.
Blitzkrieg.
If you're Barak Aşerri, you're not surprised by Quaresma scoring two.
Yeah, Quaresma scored the two goals. Nice finish on the second one.
Brilliant finish.
Yeah.
But you know what the surprise is? It's not really... Yeah, oh, okay, yes, everything about this is a surprise. But it's more surprising that Bayern Munich were... at fault for all the goals themselves. Every single goal was their
Xabi, own Alonso, fault. Dante, they were just dallying on the ball at the back.
Was it the players there or the medical staff?
Might be the groundsman. What did we say last week about this game? We tried to predict this game and everyone
14-1.
Yep. 14-1, 7-0.
Over 2 legs.
To be fair, the three of you said that. I was in LA thinking that Porto would actually win this game.
Wow, I get no credit for saying.
Yeah, I really thought Porto were going to win this game.
3-1, eh? 3-1?
By the way, there's no proof of me, of the counter to that. So, you're right. Yeah, I can say whatever I want.
No, but Bernie was here playing the drums.
So. He was playing the mobile with the weak drums. but yeah, that was very surprising. Pep went absolutely nuts. The head of the medical staff who's been at Bayern for 30 years has resigned because Pep basically said, this is all your fault.
To be fair, it's not the first time this bloke's resigned.
True. But to be fair, like, I think that guy was on the field and he gave the ball away and then that's how Porto scored, so yeah. Definitely his fault.
I mean, Pep is a little brat. Like,
perfectionist
here, brat over there, semantics, whatever. Yeah. But the guy, the video of him yelling at the groundsmen to hurry the hell up and do their job properly. I'm like, just calm down. These are human beings that deserve respect and not your brand of.
But that's how you be successful. Some people tell you to be successful, you have to be ruthless, and that's what Pep is. And I think we were talking about this. Pep would be the worst person to deal with post retirement. He would just not know what to do with himself.
I think Pep is a very respected person and he's an achiever, successful guy. But at the end of the day, Pep Guardiola is also needs to show how he can build up a project.
Right, right.
Yeah. He did manage to take a year sabbatical in New York. I mean, granted, he had like German lessons the whole
time. Last game from that was the Barca-PSG game. 3-1 Barca away in France. Suarez and Messi. Who scored? Suarez scored two. Who scored the third for Barca? I can't remember.
Neymar?
Yeah. Neymar is correct. But
it's
all about Suarez, Luis.
Suarez. Yeah. Oh my God, he killed him.
Yeah, Roche, you saw him. Are you okay there?
He's been holding that coffee forever.
All right, Roche, let it out. Okay, not so loud. So tell us, you saw that Suarez nutmeg
on
Luis.
True great nutmegs, yeah. Luis and Luis.
Where's the lem sit?
Yeah. But we did see all the really creative guys on Twitter with the Eiffel Tower. And
creative guys on Twitter, like me.
You like Birdie.
Yeah, you very creatively copied other people's pictures.
Brain's very creative at linking us to the creativeness. Yeah. This is brilliant.
What was the article in the newspaper the next day? It said, Suarez had no other way through except to nutmeg him.
Can we talk about how awful David Luiz was, though?
Yeah. David Luiz was horrendous.
On the second one, he was the last man.
Yep.
You don't attack the ball.
Yeah. No, he came on. He wasn't even starting. They decided to play an injured Thiago Silva over him, to be honest.
What's hilarious to me is that David Luiz's mom comes out on Twitter being like, "You're still my son." Of course he's still your son. what happened?
He didn't kill anyone. Like, we get it. Whatever, anyways.
He basically got orphaned by those hammers.
That's so true. That's so true. Richey's being handed a glass of water. It's
Barca's going through. PSG are out. That's it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Bang on me.
Richey, we need to get better for next week's podcast, yeah? How long are you out for? A couple of days?
I'm going to be out as long as Modric is out.
Thank you.
All right, let's wrap this up with some local news. TFC, which aren't really local because they're not playing a home game in like weeks. But they were playing who this week?
FC Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Becker's revenge.
Yeah. Yep. So what? Going 3-0 down in the first half.
That was brilliant.
And
then
Texas.
Someone did a rain dance on the side to halt the game, and they thought that the game was going to be canceled.
It was at the Burrow's mom.
That woman is dangerous.
Yeah, she is, man.
Yeah.
Somebody called her up, be like, "Look, we need a couple of hours break. Get the team together. We're playing really bad." But anyways, they came back in the second half.
So 3-0 rain delay. 3-0. Three hour.
Yeah, an hour ago.
Yeah.
But they did win the second half 2-0. To be fair.
I mean, Jovinko with two stunning goals. The first one, just dinking past the defender and then chipping the keeper. It was absolutely beautiful.
Two late goals, yeah.
Yeah, and then the free kick. It was just the technique on that free kick.
It was nonchalant. So he just, effortless flick.
That's true. Beautiful. So
to be fair, it was like right outside the box.
Sure, but I think it's more difficult because you have less space to get the ball up and down.
Because when you're further back, you have more chance to get the ball up and down.
I can't. I'm sorry. I'm not talking about me taking a free kick. All I'm saying is the way Bernie. You can't see it, but the way Bernie said that, it seemed like it was from experience. I think it's hard. Like when I try it.
Yeah. No, but I watch it on TV. Okay.
When I
imagine myself, basically in my dreams.
Yeah.
Like that's how that is.
I was going to say, wherever you are, it goes over the bar.
Alex, why you got to do that? Why you got to do that?
All right, guys.
Be in the 6-yard box, dude.
Wait, can we just really just you know, have a moment of silence for the Borussia Dortmund career of
Jurgen Klopp,
who is going to be replaced by Tuchel.
Yes.
And Klopp, where do you think he's going to go?
I was going to say that a minute silence is really bad radio.
Yeah, true.
So we probably shouldn't. But
we'll do a minute and edit it down to a few seconds.
Or we can do a minute clap, like they do sometimes.
I think, you know, the microseconds that we had between our words is a moment silent enough for Klopp.
True. Where's he going, Roche?
He's going to a spa for like a year.
Brilliant. Where's he going, Alex?
Newcastle.
Wow. Where is he going?
Leicester City.
He's going to Man City.
Or West Ham.
Guys, and we are gone. He's going on a sabbatical, let's be real.
He did say he's not going on a sabbatical.
He needs one.
He needs to calm down a bit.
You need a sabbatical.
I think I'm eligible.
And we're out.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.